Thank you, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome all of you to our conference call this morning and wish you all the best for 2025. The underlying presentation for the call has been published this morning on our website. Today, we released a statement for the first nine months of financial year 2024-2025. We are going to present the highlights of this period and revisit our full-year earnings guidance for business year 2024-2025, which is unchanged. Following the call, we are going to answer your questions. A recording of this call will be available on our homepage shortly after the call. Now, let me hand over to Südzucker's CFO, Dr. Stephan Meeder. Stephan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sandra and Nikolai, for the introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and also a warm welcome from my side. Happy New Year to all of you, and thank you very much for showing your interest in Südzucker today. As mentioned, we would like to give you a brief overview about the business performance in the first nine months of financial year 2024-2025 and the details about our confirmed earnings guidance for financial year 2024-2025. Thus, let me start, please, with the highlights of the first nine months. You will find that in the presentation on page number five. So let's move to page number five. Here you can see the financial highlights after nine months. And as already indicated on 15th of October 2024, Q3 performance was not able to match the very strong previous year's numbers. So after nine months this year, we have reached the following numbers. You can see top of the slide, starting with revenues. So group revenues came in at 7.5 billion euros, slightly below previous year's level. Coming to the operational key figures, EBITDA and operating profit, group EBITDA was significantly down by 55% to 502 million euro, and group operating result down by even 73% to 236 million. Cash flow decreased correspondingly to 368 million euro, and earnings EPS after nine months came in at -1 euro against 2.49 euros last year. Looking at net financial debt, you can see that net financial debt as of end of November 2024 came in 93 million above previous year's level and decreased by 82 million euro against the start of the financial year 2023-2024, thus reaching 1.7 billion euros. Now, let's have a look into the segmental performance. This starts on page number six. On this slide, you can find an overview, third quarter isolated, and the first nine months on group level and on segmental level. And you can see that after nine months, group revenues, as just mentioned, came in slightly below prior year's level. Revenues declined in the special products, crop energies, and starch segments, but were at last year's levels in the sugar segment and rose slightly in the fruit segment. Looking generally on the group operating result, you can see that the decrease was driven by the sugar, crop energies, and starch segments, while the special products and the fruit segments showed an increase. Now, let's move to the segment sugar isolated. You can find this on page number eight. Here you can find the development over the last 5 years in the sugar balance world. So let's first have a look on the global view of the sugar market. And we base our forecast and assumptions on the data of S&P Global, one of the leading consultancies. And you can see that in the latest updates of S&P Global, this latest update was from December 2024, for the sugar marketing year 2023-2024, which runs from October to September, S&P Global reports a surplus of 2.7 billion tons, significantly down against the former expectation of a surplus of 5.2 million. So this per se is a positive news, and thus the stock-to-use ratio is slightly above 36%. looking the following year, that means looking into sugar market year 24-25. Here you can see that S&P Global expects no longer a surplus of about 4 million tons, which was the previous assumption, but now a balanced market. So this is also a positive news. This means the stock-to-use ratio is expected to decrease slightly to below 36%. Looking ahead into the next sugar marketing year, 25-26, which will start in October 25, here S&P Global now expects in its first estimate a deficit of 1.8 million tons and a decrease in the stock-to-use ratio below 35%. So if this is to be confirmed, this would be the first deficit on the world sugar market since 21-22 sugar market year. So it is too early to say what this would mean for the global sugar prices, but as such, these assumption of a decrease in the stock-to-use ratio and a deficit for the world sugar market should work in favor of market prices. So coming from the world sugar market analysis to the EU sugar market, so you will find this on page number 9. You can see the graph of the price development, and let's start with a reflection on the ongoing campaign. So in the EU, the sowing and growing conditions for this campaign have been so far favorable. So since Q1, there have been increasing indication that this will lead to a significantly larger harvest and corresponding sugar production than originally expected. So this is on the one side higher production. What happened on the consumption side? So in combination with the sluggish sugar sales so far this year, this has led to continued high sugar inventories within the EU, although EU sugar exports have occurred in parallel. And the third thing is that the already anticipated decline in EU sugar prices and had therefore intensified further over the summer months, leading to decreasing prices. Additionally, there are now further sugar imports from Ukraine to be expected from January 25 onwards to the extent of 109,000 tons for the first 5 months. Sorry, so this rule is going to up to June this year. For the rest of the calendar year, that means after June, it is so far unclear what the EU is going to decide when it comes to imports from Ukraine, but we have to be prepared that another 109,000 tons from the Ukraine could come to the EU on a tax-free, duty-free level. What has also happened in the meantime, so there is this, we have followed that for over the last year. So in early December 24, the European Commission and the Mercosur countries have jointly announced the conclusion of the negotiations on the EU-Mercosur agreement. So this agreement, if at the end ratified, would not come into force before 2026. And the implications for this Mercosur agreement are both on the sugar side and also on the ethanol side. Looking into the sugar first, so this agreement, if it would come into force, would mean that the customs duties for 180,000 tons of sugar of Brazil's current CXL import quota will be reduced from 98 euros per ton to zero, and Paraguay will be granted a new duty-free import quota of 10,000 tons of raw cane sugar per year for refining. That is on the sugar side. What is on the ethanol side? For the ethanol side, this agreement would mean that imports of ethanol in the amount of 650,000 cubic meters to come gradually into the EU over 6 years, and this is assumed to have an effect both on the EU sugar market and on the ethanol market. So let's continue on page 10 with the development in the sugar segment of Südzucker Group. And here you can see, so we are now on page 10. You can see after 9 months, the revenues in the sugar segment came in on previous year's level, yeah, reaching 3.1 billion euros. On the one side, we have significantly higher sales volumes, and the other side, we have lower prices balancing the revenues. That means the significant higher sales volumes were no longer fully able to offset falling prices. Prices in the EU have fell more and more sharply over the course of the five fiscal year and dropped again significantly at the beginning of the new 24-25 sugar marketing year, starting in October. Also, the increased exports to the international markets put pressure on our average sales prices. This is reflected then in the operating result. You can see here that there is a strong decline, and this happened particularly during the third quarter of 2024-25 fiscal year. So the first sugar segment for the first time in this year recorded an operating loss and thus showed negative figures for the entire reporting period of 9 months this fiscal year. The significant decline in result was thus mainly caused by the sharp downturn in prices. On the one side, and the other side, we had significantly higher manufacturing costs in the 2023 campaign, and this also had a negative impact from the beginning of this financial year. This means that the inventories produced at high cost during the 23 campaign were still being sold in the third quarter of fiscal year 24-25, and thus at prices that had fallen significantly again at the beginning of the new sugar market year, which placed an above average burden on the third quarter of 24-25 fiscal year. So let's continue going over from the sugar segment to the next segment, which is the special product segment. You will find this on page number 11. Here you can see on page 11 for the special product segments, this comprises Freiberger, Beneo, and PortionPack Group. So here you can see that after 9 months, revenues came in at 1.7 billion, and so they decreased moderately, and this is due to lower volumes and prices. So in previous year's period, 9 months, we recorded revenues of 1.8 billion euros. Looking to operating profit, this is positive news. So here the operating result in the special product segment increased slightly, reaching 152 million euros compared to 150 in previous year's period. So what were the main factors for that? Here in the special product segment, we see higher margins. They were the main factor behind this slight overall rise in the special product segment. The divisions themselves experienced fluctuations in raw material costs, with some rising or remaining at last year's level. Let's move over to the third segment, which is crop energies. You will find that on page 12. We're also looking at 9 months figures on the right-hand side of the table. You can see that after 9 months, revenues in the segment crop energies were down significantly, reaching 711 euros compared to 848 in previous year's nine-month period. What were the reasons behind this decrease? So the decrease is mainly due to lower prices for ethanol as well as for food and animal feed products. On the other side, volumes have increased, so this is positive. This compares to a previous year's low level of production, which themselves were due to scheduled maintenance in this prior year's nine-month period. Coming to operating result, this after 9 months, there only stands 8 million in operating profit. So after the operating profit was affected by lower prices, and we can see here that thus in line with the revenues trend, the operating result for the reporting period 9 months of this fiscal year was also significantly lower than last year. The key factor for this decrease were the prices for ethanol, which are significantly lower than in previous year's period. This is on the one side. On the other side, we see lower also net raw material prices, lower energy costs, and increased sales on the positive side. But those three factors have not been near enough to offset the negative impact of falling prices. So to be precise on the prices, we can see that the average ethanol prices in the first 9 months came in at 682 euros per cubic meter, and this compares to 782 euros per cubic meters in 9 months period of the previous year. Looking isolated in December, here we can see that prices have stabilized. So the average ethanol price in December was at 663 euros against 602 euros per cubic meter in December 2023. So from crop energies, let's move over to the fourth segment, which is the starch segment. You will find this on page 13. Also looking at 9 months figures, you can see on the right-hand side of the table that revenues in the starch segment declined significantly, reaching 724 million euros after 828 million euros in previous year's 9 months period. So this downturn was the result of significantly lower prices for starch products as well as for byproducts and ethanol. In contrast, sales volumes developed positively and increased in the reporting period. Coming to operating result in the starch segment, you can see that after 9 months, we have reached 24 million euros after 58 million euros in previous year's period. So operating profit was also significantly down. What were the reasons for that? On the one side, we see substantial decrease in raw material and energy costs, along also with higher sales volumes, but the same for crop energies. These effects were not enough to completely offset the significantly lower prices. Additionally, the third quarter was also affected by the several-week flood-induced shutdown at the Austrian Pischelsdorf location in Austria. So this affected the operating profit with a 7 million charge. So let's move on to the fifth segment, which is the food segment. You will find that on page 14. Also looking at the 9 months figures on the right-hand side of the table, you can see that the revenues in the food segment showed a slight increase, thus reaching 1.2 billion in 9 months period. And this is particularly due to higher sales volumes in food preparations and higher prices in the food juice concentrated divisions. Looking to operating profit, so there's a positive trend. Increased operating profits to 75 million euros after 66 million in previous year's period. So what were the reasons for this increase in operating result? So operating result came in significantly above prior year's level. This is due to a slight increase in sales volumes with moderately higher margins. The contribution of the food preps to the result was thus enhanced. In contrast, the contribution to the results from the fruit juice concentrates decreased despite slightly higher sales volumes due to slightly lower margins. So after having had this look on the five segments, let me now turn to the main points of the profit and loss statement on pages 16 and 17. So what is to come below operating profit? It is the result from restructuring and special items and the financial and tax results, which will be covered now in this part of the presentation. And let me start with the result from restructuring and special items. Here you can see that after 9 months, we had to record a special restructuring and special items, a result of minus 72 million. And this negative result resulted primarily from the segment crop energies. What happened here, what had to be accounted for in the third quarter? So at the time, segment crop energies is currently investing in several large-scale projects with substantial capital requirements. This you're all fully aware. That's the project that has been started in the crop energy segments over the last months. Amongst them is also the new production plant of renewable ethyl acetate at the site's location. So this is one of the big projects, and we see a challenging market environment and increased investment costs And all of this required that we had to reassess the profitability of the entire project pipeline. And this reassessment of the entire project pipeline caused the suspension of the ongoing investing activities in the construction of equipment for the production of the protein animal feed product Enpro at the production location of the British subsidiary Enfos. And so this project stop for Enpro has induced a extraordinary expense due to the impairment of the capex already incurred for this project and the provision for contractual obligations also linked to that project. And due to the subsequently lower return expectations for the Enfos plant, an extraordinary partial write-off for the equipment on the existing fixed asset was necessary in Q3. In total, these elements led to a special item of minus 76 million euro, which we had to account for in the third quarter of this financial year. After the result from restructuring special items, let's have a look on the financial result. You can see that after 9 months for the financial result, we see a net interest result of minus 73 million euro and another financial result of minus 3 million euro. So the higher interest expense was mainly due from higher average interest rates, so they have increased on a net financial debt level, which remained almost stable on average for the 9 months of this reporting period. So let's move on to page 17. On page 17, you will find taxes on income and earnings per share. After 9 months, taxes on income came in at 59 million. After 152 million in the same period last year, with an increase of the underlying tax rate to 64%. So this tax rate is extraordinarily high. So the question is, what has moved up the tax rate, which normally is in the range of plus minus 25%. So therefore, now we had to account for a tax rate of 64%. So what are the reasons for this increase in tax rate? So we first have to look into explain this. We have to look into prior year's tax rate. And prior year's tax rate was supported by higher profits in the sugar segment that were partially tax-free due to non-capitalized losses carried forward from the past. So this was a one-off effect positively in 23-24 reporting period, and this one-off is not repeating in 24-25. On the contrary, the low results in the sugar segment in 24-25 with a negative outlook, they are now a burden for this year's tax rate. Due to this negative outlook, deferred tax assets have been impaired, which led to an increase in the tax rate. That was one effect explaining the higher tax rate, and the second effect explaining the higher tax rate is the negative impact of the restructuring result, as just explained, the 76 million in Enprop Energy segment for the Enpro project at Enfos. And because those charges, they have not led to a compensating tax benefits, hence increasing the tax rate significantly. So those two items explain the increase of the tax rate to 64%. Which going forward in a normal year should be in the range of 25%. Finally, earnings per share came in at minus 1 euro cent compared to 2.49 euro in the previous year's period. Let's move now on to page 19. Here you can find cash flow, working capital, and investment development. So now we are on page 19, and you can see that following lower EBITDA and operating profit, as just explained, also cash flow decreased. And you can see cash flow after 9 months reaches 368 million euros. Working capital decreased by 345 million euro, and investment in fixed assets reached 417 million against 328 million in last year's nine-month period. Let's move on to the balance sheet. You will find that on page 21. Here we have a focus on net financial debt and the equity ratio. You can see net financial debt at the end of November turned out at 1.7 billion. So what are the effects changing net financial debt? On the one side, we have cash inflow from operating activities. This amounted to 689 million euro, as you can see. And this includes, in particular, the cash flow of 368 million and the decrease in working capital, as just explained, with a cash inflow of 345 million euro. Investments in fixed and financial assets totaling to 422 million and profit distributions of 255 million euro, which we paid out in July this year after general assemblies, could be thus fully covered as a result. Thus, the net financial debt was reduced from 1.8 billion as of 29 of February 2024, that means the beginning of this financial year, by 82 million euro to 1.7 billion by end of November, and that means after 9 months, 2024. The equity ratio now stands at 44%, which is lower compared to the previous year level and still on a very solid level. So finally, let me now turn to the outlook. You will find this on the pages 23 to 25. And as stated at the beginning, we confirm our outlook for this financial year. So you can see we confirm our group guidance for financial year 24-25. We expect, starting with revenues, we expect group revenues to come in between 9.5 and 9.9 billion euro by the end of February 25 for the 12-month period of this fiscal year. When it comes to group operating result, we confirm that we expect a range between 175 and 275 million euro, meaning a midpoint of 225 million euros. Looking more detailed into the segments, starting with the sugar segment, in the segment sugar, we expect earnings range between minus 150 and minus 50 million. Therefore, a loss has to be expected in Q4 too. Yeah? And though we are not yet in a position to give a first guidance for the coming financial year 25-26, we wanted to point out already that now that a loss for the sugar segment has to be expected in fiscal 25-26 too. After sugar, let's have a look on the special product segment. Here you can see that the operating result is now expected to come at previous year's level. In crop energies, we now expect an operating result in a range of 5 to 20 million euro. The starch segment should see a significantly lower operating result compared to last year. And finally, a food segment, here we now see that the operating result should moderately be above previous year's level, totaling all in all to a range of 175 to 275 million euro for group operating result. So, after having explained 9 months figures and an overview of the outlook, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention so far. Together with Nico Balderscheid, we are now looking forward to your questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered a queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone with a question may press star and one at this time. Our first question comes from Ben Hesse from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you very much for the presentation and for taking my question. I just have the one. Could you please share how Südzucker plans to address the upcoming 500 million November 2025 maturity?
Ben, thank you for your question. So our 500 million euro bond senior debt is maturing by November. So you're fully right. We are in the process of preparing the refinancing of this bond. We are in talks with the banks. We are preparing, and we are optimistic to come closely to the market for refinancing that bond.
Thank you very much. That's clear.
The next question comes from Alex Sloan from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, morning all. A few questions from my side. Firstly, just on the Mercosur politics, any possibility in your view that the impacts that you outline could get watered down before this is ratified? And could you just repeat on sugar? I think you said that the tariffs on 180,000 tons of Brazilian sugar would be reduced from 98 euro per ton to zero. Is that correct? And secondly, just a bit more color on the sugar division. In the short term, you talked about an above average burden from higher production costs in Q3. Is it fair to assume that fades, that impact, in Q4? That's the first one. And then secondly, thank you for giving the early indication with regards to fiscal 25-26, where you're still expecting a loss in sugar. I wonder if you could talk through some of the moving parts to that early expectation, and whether that level of loss, as you see it as a base case today, would be similar to fiscal 24-25 or a lower level of loss. Thank you.
Starting with Mercosur, I mean, the discussions on the Mercosur agreement, I think in total this is it over 10 years? So it took, at least took a very, very long time with ups and downs for this agreement. So now it seems that the EU commissions and the Mercosur countries have reached upon an agreement, but still this needs to be endorsed and ratified by all the EU countries. So still some disturbance could be there, but we assume that this deal is going to be closed. If it comes then finally into force, actually it would mean that on the sugar side, there will be additionally 180,000 tons of Brazilian sugar coming in with no duty. So this has a negative price effect, but 180,000 tons on a market which is between 15 and 60 million euro is not too much. So on the sugar side, let's wait and see. On the ethanol side, 650,000 cubic meters is more percentage-wise for an EU market of ethanol being approximately at 11 million cubic meters. So all imports coming in typically have a negative sentiment on the prices. So this, but we have to see because also in the ethanol market also today 3 million cubic meters of imports are coming in. So to be seen what finally comes out, it's earliest 2026 when we will see the effects. So could be some pressure on prices, but we do not expect this to be really material. That's on Mercosur. You're right, higher production costs for this year. If you look into our guidance for can see that the operating profit for the sugar segment, as just explained, is between minus 150 and minus 50 million. And so if we take midpoint minus 100, it's roughly 650 million deterioration in operating profit compared to previous year. And those two effects, so the 650 million anticipated decrease in operating profit for the sugar segment, has two main effects. One is higher cost and the other is lower prices. And those two effects, they are almost 50-50 with the prices being more important. So both of them over 300 and lower prices a little bit more. So it comes, the 650 comes from deterioration in operating profit, comes from higher cost and lower prices, approximately half-half. And your third question was, if I got this right, for the fiscal 25-26 for the sugar losses, Yes, as we have indicated, we need to be prepared for a loss situation. That's what we want to flag off today. But there's still a lot of uncertainty. So we are not in the position to be here more precise than that, because we finally will first have to see how the campaign comes out. There's still some weeks. Also, the ongoing campaign going until end of Jan, and it's we see a stabilization of spot prices on the European market, and we are also confident that prices for the new sugar market year would increase as of 1st of October, but there's not yet enough grip to be more precise on the figures. But yes, we do expect also a loss for the sugar segment in fiscal 25-26.
Thanks, that's helpful. So, you know, your base case is an improving price outlook. How about on costs? So I didn't quite understand. You know, the higher production costs, appreciate sort of half of the full year impact, but have we seen the peak of that impact in Q3? Was the question.
Yeah, that's right. So the main is in Q3, because in Q3 we had the above burden or the above average burden that the sugar from the last campaign was still sold in Q3 and in the new sugar market years. That means on the reduced prices.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Oliver Schwarz from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. First set of questions will be mostly attuned to the situation at Crop Energies. If I understood you right, you say the investment in Enpro at Ensys in the UK was suspended. If I'm not mistaken, that could mean two things. It's either permanently terminated, or it is just put on hold until, say, further notice or until a later point of time. Could you please clarify which of the two options is the one you alluded to? That would be my first question. Secondly, do you want to do that one by one, or
yeah, we can do one by one. We can do one by one.
Okay.
As I explained, for Crop Energies has evaluated the entire project portfolio. There are several projects ongoing, and this reassessment of all projects that led to the decision to stop finally the Enpro project. So this is not put on hold. It is stopped.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much for that. Second one, in connection to that, I mean, the Enpro expansion or the investment in Enpro, which, as we can see by now, it was rather, let's say, extensive. That was mainly targeted to bring the break even of Ensys down to make it a more, let's say, integrated plant, not similar but close to what you have in continental Europe. So if you now scrap that part of the site, that obviously fixates your break even point at a higher level, and at the same time you alluded to the Mercosur agreement, which will have, from my point of view, let's say a limited impact on the sugar market, but a vast impact on the bioethanol market. I know that the UK is no longer part of the EU, so the Mercosur agreement is unlikely to directly affect the Ensys plant. But if I may pick your brain a bit about that, what will be the impact or the likely impact of the Mercosur agreement on the UK bioethanol market, and is Ensys in a position to, let's say, sustainably create or generate, let's say, profits in such a generation, or is the plant as such, let's say, perhaps slated for either, let's say, a temporary or a permanent closure? From your point of view, as it is your highest cost assets in Crop Energy, I presume? That would be my second question.
Yeah. I mean, for Ansys, we are in a challenging market and operational profitability and environment. So we have to be prepared that for Ansys this year, there's an operating loss. And so we evaluate all the cost positions with the management team. So, but there's no yet a decision taking for whatsoever. But it is clear Ansys is in a challenging situation. When it comes for the Mercosur agreement, nevertheless, this will fade in over 6 years. So it's not by tomorrow that those volumes would come in, but we have to monitor very closely together with Crop Energies and Ansys management team what are the implications for the Ansys plant as a total, but nothing has been decided going forward so far.
Okay, but will that, or from your point of view, will those volumes that will go into the EU market probably also find their way into the UK? As I said, the Mercosur agreement obviously is not with the UK included, but or is there already yet a distinction between the European bioethanol price and the UK price, or is that one wash, you may say?
The imports already come to UK too, and there's with a plus pricing scheme, even UK having left the European Union, the EU pricing scheme for ethanol in UK is the same than in continental Europe, but it's true also as of today, a lot of US imports come to the US market, to the UK market.
Okay, very clear. Thank you for that one. And secondly, if I may, Could you elaborate a bit about the restructuring charges, not at Crop Energies, but at the specialty products? Which part of the business was affected and why? Could you go into more detail on that, please?
When it comes to the restructuring, we see that after 9 months, this totals to 72 million euro minus, as checked explained, and there the main effect comes 76 million from Crop Energies. But for sure, there are also some minor restructure items plus and minus in the other segments. If you ask for specialties, here we have a gain of the disposal of the Richelieu dressing and sauces business, which we have sold, and this has accounted for a positive special item of 17 million. So this one was positive, but there are also other elements to small extent in the other divisions, totaling then altogether to minus 7. And when it comes to sugar, it may be also of interest when it comes to sugar. We have a temporary closure of the refination site of Agrana Sugar in Buzău, Romania, and this has accounted for roughly 4 million charge in special items.
Understood. Sorry for that. To press you on that point, I was, let's say, especially alluding to the 10 millions or roughly 10 millions in Q3 that according to the quarterly report, was due to a charge, especially in the specialty products portfolio, that there were to the amount of 10 million euros, if I understood that correctly, restructuring charges, especially in that vicinity of your business, and that's basically what I wanted to find out: which part of the specialty products business was affected by this.
I got your point. After 9 months in restructuring of special items, we have 11 million plus in the specialty segments, and thus 17 million positively coming from Freiberger, the cell, as I just explained, the dressing and sauces business of Richelieu, and there's a charge of roughly, I think, 4 million for Beneo when it comes to, we had to devaluate down the fava beans to market value.
Okay. I step back into the line, but I have some additional questions, but I don't want to take all of the time here. So talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you so far.
The next question comes from Hartmut Moers from Martellan Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, and happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you.
I would like to start with the outlook. I've seen you've made some minor changes within the indications you've given for the individual segments. I can understand most of them. There's one point I was noticing in your special product segment. You were down 6.3% in revenues by the nine-month period, whereas for the full year you're still expecting -1% to -4%, according to your definition of the errors. That would imply that you have a major swing in the fourth quarter. You must have a positive change in the fourth quarter by 15 or something like that percent if you want to fall within that range. So is there anything that triggers that swing in revenue development? And could you also please elaborate a little bit on the three segments, how business is doing, what's doing better, and in terms of revenue development, but also in terms of margins? That's the first question.
Generally speaking, as we said, for the specialty segments, we assume a slight decrease in revenues and a stable development for operating profit. When I look into 9 months figures, and there is nothing special in Q4, so we typically foresee what has happened on the first 9 months to continue also in Q4. So for the Freiberger division, but as you know, we do not disclose individual divisional figures, but as a trend, you can see that for the Freiberger business, we see a slight deterioration in margins and lower volumes, but still on a high level. When it comes to Beneo, we have seen in the first 9 months a very positive development, both on operating margin level, operating profit level, but turnover decreased also slightly.
Mm-hmm. And PortionPack?
And PortionPack is stable. There's nothing meaningful to mention. So this is a smaller business compared to Beneo and Freiberger division, but this is going on stable.
Okay, thank you. The second one relates to Crop Energy. So the first thing, I don't know when you reviewed your the guidance you were giving, and I've seen that you've taken down the range. What we've recently seen is that prices have increased. We're back to 680 around. For the ethanol, and at 234 for the wheat, you should have a positive margin of around 50 euro per ton, which is, well, not that bad. At least it should allow you to produce positive results again. So can you confirm roughly that things should improve in the fourth quarter, and that we might look rather at the upper end of the range than the lower? Is that a view that's correct?
It's a little bit too early to say, because as you know, the ethanol prices are very volatile. Looking into the last quarter, compared to other Crop Energies, has a lower hedging rate for ethanol. That means we are more confronted also due to the lower hedging rate to the developments of the ethanol price. Typically, I would say there are good arguments for an increased ethanol price, as you might have seen that as of January 1st, the greenhouse gas emission reduction targets in Germany, they have been increased. The CO2 quota in the Brennstoffemissionshandelsgesetz have increased. Fraudulent or obviously under suspicion of the UER upstream emission rights from China. So these certificates, they have been put out of the market. So there are good arguments for increasing ethanol prices as of January. So far, as you're right, so the average prices in January on ethanol, they stand roughly at 607 euros per cubic meter, which is higher than January 24. And so there are good reasons to believe that the price is supportive, but we have also seen downward trends on the ethanol price, but I would rather assume higher prices, and that means we also assume for Kerber Energies to be midpoint.
Mm. Okay. And the other one relating to Crop Energies would be, I haven't really clearly understood what the 70 million charges were for. I mean, you were relating not only to the ENSOS project, but also to the ETAC project?
No. There you got me right. It is the 76 million charge in restructuring item is fully to the end stop of the ENPO project. And to give you some more details on that, so I mean, what has already been constructed amounts to 23 million euro. There have been obligations taken for the contract of 5 million and some breakup costs of 2 million euro that brings this charge completely, which are directly linked to the ENPO equipment to 30 million, and due to the lower earnings expectations, the partial write-off for the ethanol plant was 45. So this together brings the charge to 75 million euro, but this extraordinary charge is one and only to ENPO. There are no other projects affected from Kerber Energy side.
Mm. I mean, 75 million would have been the entire investment. I mean, if you would have been able to stick to the original plan,
but you know, not everything has
75%. One could argue, why haven't you done it?
Sorry, I don't get that question.
No, I mean, the original project. I mean, you said at the time you want to spend 100 million, 25 million for the
energy savings.
Exactly. No, for the refurbishing of the plant, and 75 million for developing ENPRO. So if you now take 75 million or 76 million charge for ENPRO, the question arises, why haven't you invested? Why haven't you spent the money? If you now take a charge in exactly the amount which would have cost it for you to build the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. One would think you should have done it.
Yeah, but that's what I just tried to explain. So the 76 million charge is not only related to the ENPRO project. So 30 million is directly linked to the equipment already installed or contract obligations already taken, and 45 million is for the entire ethanol plant as a partial write-down due to lower profit expectation.
It's not the foregone
not the
foregone revenues from ENPRO. It's for the it's a write down of the plant.
Exactly, in the amount of 45 million.
I see. Okay, thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Welcome.
We have a follow up question from Ben Hesler from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my follow-up question. I just wanted to clarify, if I recall correctly on the last call, you mentioned that you were wanting to address the November 2025 bonds following the 3Q results. Is it still the intention to come to the market following this cleansing event, and how are you viewing the issuance environment at this point?
Yeah, and the following Q3, that means in due course, that's one of the opportunities that we are investigating, but there are also options, but it's clearly on the table. One opportunity would be right now after Q3 figures.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my follow-up.
The next question is also a follow-up from Oliver Schwarz from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello again. Thanks for taking my additional questions, gentlemen. Just as a follow-up to the recent set of questions we heard alluding to the Ensus plant. Can you remind us the remaining book value of Ensus at the moment after the write downs of Q3? How much is left of that?
The partial write down is 45 million. I don't know what is then the remaining part. It's
you have to come back on this one.
Come back, but it's
Oliver, to give you the exact number.
No problem. Thank you for that. My second question, completely different topic, I'm afraid. Fruit. Obviously, performance was ahead of your expectations, and you also notched up the guidance for the full year, which is, let's say, a positive surprise, at least from my point of view. Fruit, as such, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is a subsidiary of Agrana, which which is not to 100% in the hands of Agrana, but partly owned still by BayWa in Germany. Is that correct?
Not fully. I mean, the fruit segment or the fruit division. It is fully at Agrana. Yeah, the fruit segment, and the fruit segment is comprised of two divisions. One division is the fruit preparations, which is the larger part, and this is 100% Agrana. And the minor part of the fruit segment or the divisions is the division of fruit juice concentrates. And you're right, this is a 50-50 joint venture with RWA, Raiffeisenware Austria.
Yeah. RWA is...
But fully consolidated by Agrana.
Correct. Thank you. But RWA, if I'm not mistaken, has been taken over from Agrana there's been a transaction. I don't want to go into the details here. Which basically leads me to the question: would be Agrana interested in acquiring the remaining 50% of the juice joint venture to basically also, let's say, help LVR to finance mm-hmm. the transaction price with BayWa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is part of the press release that BayWa has given in the course of their restructuring. They said they have sold the RWA to an Austrian consortium, and within this announcement, it also has been indicated that there could be interest of RWA of selling the 50% stake in the juice. This is so far press information. If this confirms to be materialized in a project, for sure Agrana would have a look into. Yeah, but also other options are possible. This is in the course of the BayWa restructuring. There's not too much that we can comment upon. But if this would come to the market, for sure Agrana would have a look into.
Right. Thank you for that. And probably also one on sugar. The Q3 results was clearly negative because of sugar in inventory that was produced at very high costs and now needed to be sold at very low prices, hence most probably below production costs. Is there sizable inventory from high-cost production sugar left at Südzucker, or was that all sold already at the Q3 stage?
Almost everything is sold in Q3. I mean, Q3 goes until November. There is not much left. Oh, it should be. Let's assume it has been digested in Q3.
Understood. So would I be correct to, let's say, imply that this might help not only Q4 but also the oncoming financial year in regard to the extent of the loss you were implying, meaning that this situation as we had it this year with the high cost inventory to be sold and hence creating a negative impact on your P&L is not likely to reoccur in the next financial year.
Too early to say. I mean, there are several aspects. So as we have flagged, we also foresee or have to be prepared to a loss situation for the sugar segment for fiscal 25-26. For sure, we assume that production cost in the 24 campaign would go down compared to 23 campaign, yes. But on the other side, linked to the sugar market here, the prices for the for the sale of the sugar contracts, they are in place until October. So as sugar market year and fiscal year of Südzucker are not the same, sugar market year goes from October to September and our fiscal year from March to Feb, we will also have in 25-26 financial year 7 months of old contract prices. So the key question, in which we cannot answer as of today, is the key question will be what will be the new sugar market price contracts as of 1st of October 25. So there are good arguments to see based on the what I have explained to the world market development and European market development. So there are good arguments to foresee a price stabilization and a price increase as of 1st of October, but we do not have as of today enough grip to really evaluate that precisely.
Thank you for that explanation. I think I got that perfectly well, but I mean that would imply that there is no, let's say, similar situation that you have to sell, let's say, high cost inventory at low selling prices, especially if you are looking for or basically hoping for higher pricing points following the new annual contracts that go into place from the 1st of October this year. Would that be a correct interpretation?
That's our base case assumption. This is also underlined that we assume also a decrease in contracting hectares for 25 sugar campaign.
Understood. If I'm not mistaken, there are basically two rollover dates. One is the 1st of October that you mentioned. That's basically with customers from the food industry, but there's also a rollover on the 1st of January, which is with the large supermarket chains that you cater to. Is that still correct, or are all contracts, let's say, rolled or renegotiated on the 1st or towards the 1st of October of each year?
Yeah. Main part is 1st of October, but you are right, there are also full year, also calendar year contracts. That means that there is also for the new calendar year contracts, which has come into place 1st of Jan 25, there's a lower price compared to previous year's 12-month calendar year period. So, but the major part is on sugar market year, but there are also calendar year contracts.
Okay, understood. Thank you for that. And the last one, I promise. Starch also had less than optimal quarter in Q3. When looking into supply and demand, obviously a part of that is due to the construction sector. However, on the other side, let's say in regard to demand, the packaging sector, so let's say Amazon packets and the like that use starch as a glue, that seems to be holding up fairly well or even expanding. Could you please elaborate why the decline in starch was that pronounced in Q3?
So one effect was a one-off in the flooding in Austria. As I said, that accounts for 7 billion extra charge. And your analysis on the global supply and demand for the starch business is correct. So we see a increase in volumes. So roughly 9% volume wise is so businesses are recovering. So from the volume perspective, this is positive. But we clearly have we see a downward trend on prices. So the average price be for native starches, modified starch, ethanol, and also for gluten, they are on a downward trend. The raw material prices too, but the downward trend on prices is more significant than the reduction from raw materials. But both raw material prices and prices for the end products go down whilst volumes go up, and this explains the deterioration in operating profit.
Got it. Thank you very much for that. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Nikolai Baltrushak for any closing remarks.
Thank you, Sandra, and thank you for the lively conversation today and your questions. Please don't hesitate if you have further questions just to reach out to us, and wish you a good day. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.